All right, let's dive in. We're tackling Lesson 1, Evidence-Based Massage, from Chapter 4, The Therapeutic Nature of Massage. And we're here to help you, you know, kind of unearth the gems.
Yeah, you can think of us as like your guides through this world where research is, you know, constantly like validating or sometimes even debunking what we thought we knew about massage.
It's like finally getting those answers,
yeah,
you know, to those age-old questions.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of which, remember Dr. John Harvey Kellogg?
Yeah.
You know, pioneer in the field. But he also spread that misconception about massage spreading cancer.
Oh, yeah. The power of authority, huh? Even when it's misguided. A prime example of why this whole evidence-based practice thing is so crucial.
Really is.
Imagine all those people missing out on the benefits of massage because of that belief.
Thankfully, research has, you know, set the record straight.
Yeah.
But before we get into, like, the nitty-gritty of studies, let's trace how we even got to this point of evidence-based practice.
Well, our journey starts with tradition. The foundation of so many practices. Think about it. For centuries, massage techniques were just passed down through generations, relying on observation and, you know, hands-on experience.
Like a secret family recipe for relaxation. But just as grandma's casserole might need a modern twist, traditional massage practices really benefit from the lens of current research.
Exactly. Tradition has its place. But we can't just shy away from questioning long-held beliefs, right?
Right.
Even those handed down by, you know, like respected teachers or textbooks.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Those could use a healthy dose of scrutiny.
That's where things get really interesting. Because accepting something simply because an authority figure said so, well, that's not exactly critical thinking, is it?
Not quite. We gotta balance that respect for experience with a willingness to challenge assumptions. Because remember, everyone, even experts, you know, they have biases that can kind of color their perspectives.
So how do we move beyond just tradition and authority to build knowledge that's truly reliable?
Well, we can use reasoning, for starters. Deductive reasoning takes a general principle and applies it to, like, specific cases, like saying massage increases circulation, therefore it should help with swelling.
Makes sense, yeah. But what if that initial premise is, you know, kind of shaky?
Ah, that's the risk, right? Deductive reasoning, it's only as strong as its starting point. Remember that whole flat earth theory? Logically sound, you know, based on their observations, but ultimately proven wrong.
So we need a way to test those assumptions.
You got it.
That's where inductive reasoning comes in.
Precisely. Instead of starting with a general principle, inductive reasoning kind of observes patterns in specific cases to arrive at a general conclusion. Early massage practitioners likely use this method, you know. Noticing how certain techniques consistently produce certain results.
Building knowledge from the ground up, based on real-world observations. But to really minimize bias and get the most accurate information, we need something even more rigorous.
Enter the scientific method, the gold standard for reliable knowledge, you know. It's about testing hypotheses through systematic observation, experimentation, and analysis.
Like Dr. Renard in his chicken soup research. He didn't just assume it worked. He put it to the test, and guess what? Found evidence to support its anti-inflammatory properties. Science for the win.
It's a great illustration of how the scientific method can either validate or, you know, debunk traditional beliefs. It helps us move beyond those anecdotes and opinions towards a more objective understanding.
And that brings us full circle to evidence-based massage. It's about using this scientific approach to understand not just what works, but why it works.
So before we, you know, jump into specific research types, let's take a second and think about what we're even trying to figure out. With all this research, it's not just about whether a technique, you know, like, works, but also if it actually makes sense to use it.
Right, yeah, effectiveness is key. But it's not the only thing, right? I mean, I would guess that things like, you know, cost and practicality. And even the client's needs come into play, too.
Absolutely. Imagine a treatment that's been proven super effective, but it requires like a week-long stay in a specialized clinic and costs a fortune. You know, not super practical for most people.
Right. Definitely not.
So research can help us kind of weigh those factors, too.
Makes sense. Okay. So let's break down the different types of research that you might see as you explore evidence-based massage. I know our listener is diving into case reports and case series, which seems super relevant for massage therapists.
Totally. Case reports offer these detailed accounts of individual clients, like, you know, those amazing success stories you hear from other therapists. They're really great for getting insights into how massage was used for a specific condition and what the outcome was.
So it's almost like, you know, learning from each other's experiences.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And then when you start to look at, you know, several cases together, like in a case series,
yeah,
you might actually start to see some patterns. Right.
Yeah, exactly. They can really help us, you know, generate ideas, especially when you're dealing with some of those less common conditions or even just exploring, you know, new approaches. Who knows? You might even be inspired to, like, contribute your own case report someday.
Oh, wow. Really? How would I even, like, go about doing that?
Well, Massage Therapy Foundation, you know, they have a student case report contest. It's a fantastic way to, like, sharpen your observation skills and even your documentation skills. Plus, you'd be adding to, you know, our collective knowledge base.
That's really cool. I'll have to check that out. So we talked about case reports and series. What about those larger scale studies, like clinical trials? Those sound super important.
Oh, they are. They're like the gold standard for, you know, figuring out if a treatment really works and is safe. They compare a group that's getting the treatment to a control group that might, like, receive a placebo or even a different treatment altogether.
So it's like a head-to-head competition to see what's most effective.
You got it. But to make it a fair fight, participants are, you know, randomly assigned to each group. So you can really minimize that bias. Let's just say, for example, we're testing massage for, like, what, low back pain against over-the-counter pain meds.
Okay, yeah, I'm following. So you'd randomly assign people with low back pain to either get massage or take the medication.
And then the researchers very carefully gather data throughout the study. Things like, you know, pain levels and how freely people can move, even measuring, like, those fascinating markers of stress and pain, like cortisol and substance P.
Cortisol and substance P. Wow, okay, so now that's getting into, like, the nitty-gritty. So after a certain amount of time, they analyze all that data.
Yeah.
To see which one performed better.
Exactly. And that's, you know, the beauty of clinical trials. They can really give us solid evidence about a treatment's effectiveness, you know, compared to other options.
Okay, yeah. Those clinical trials sound pretty intense. And then there are even those bigger studies I've heard about, like systematic reviews and meta-analyses. Are those as, like, complicated as they sound?
They can seem kind of intimidating at first, but you can think of them like super summaries. Instead of looking at, like, one study, they're analyzing a whole bunch of studies on the same topic.
Okay, so it's like Suchi. You've got this team of experts and they're like sifting through all the research, pulling out the, you know, most reliable information, and then they just give you, like, big picture.
Yeah, exactly. They can help us, you know, really see those trends and make better decisions about what works.
So if, well, I'm trying to understand, whether massage is effective for a certain condition, checking out a systematic review or meta-analysis would be a good place to start.
Definitely. It's a much more efficient way to get the most up-to-date and comprehensive understanding than trying to read, like, dozens of individual studies.
Okay, that makes sense. But I gotta admit, sometimes those research articles can feel, you know, a bit overwhelming. Any tips for navigating them?
Oh, for sure. Just remember those three key questions we talked about earlier. What were the researchers trying to find out? How did they, you know, go about finding it out? And what did they discover?
Right. Those questions help me focus on the purpose, you know, the methods and results. It's like having a roadmap.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, don't be afraid to really dig into those resources that are mentioned in your lesson. The Massage Therapy Foundation website, PubMed, you know, those are great places to start.
This has been awesome. I feel like you've covered so much.
Yeah.
You know, from the historical roots of massage knowledge to the different, like, research approaches. I feel much more prepared to, you know, dive into this whole world of evidence-based massage.
It's a journey, not a destination, right? Evidence-based practice is all about, like, continuously learning and refining our understanding, especially as new research comes out.
So true. Any final words of wisdom for our listener as they, you know, continue on with lesson one?
Just keep that curiosity burning and embrace that power of critical thinking and never underestimate the impact that, you know, evidence-based practice can have on both your own professional growth and the well-being of your clients.
Couldn't have said it better myself. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into the world of evidence-based massage. We'll catch you next time.